been a couple weeks, but we left off in this chapter here in Romans chapter number 11. This chapter, of course, is talking about God's future dealings with Israel. We went through some pretty heavy stuff there in this chapter, some stuff to chew on, I guess, some good Bible teaching and doctrine here. And we will do, Lord willing, the same this morning as well. To get a running jump, we'll kind of review what we looked at so far in this chapter. In Romans chapter 11, just look at the verse. In verse number 1, Paul says that God's not done dealing with His people, Israel. God still has a plan. And there are Jews, there is a remnant, there are Jews that have been saved at that time, and I believe are still saved today. Jews who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. Paul said, God's not done with Jews. He said, because I'm one, and God saved me. And then he goes through the next few verses, and he talks about some lessons from history with the prophet and a remnant, and that God always had a remnant, and God still has a remnant, and the blindness that Israel was in. And then Paul directs his attention to these Gentiles who would be hearing this, and reminding them that though God has cast away, again, the olive plant, the religious privileges of being a Jew, though they had been cast away, and yes, and praise God, that God is working through Gentiles today in His local churches. That's us today. Praise the Lord for that. But He says, don't get high-minded. Don't start thinking that you're something special. If it weren't for the root, if it weren't for Jesus Christ, we'd all be absolutely nothing. And we ought to praise Him for it. And at the same time, be careful. Be careful that we don't get too high-minded. Be careful that we don't lose our love. Be careful that we don't get blinded in some spiritual pride, and that God would cast us away. And we talked about what all that means there in these verses. It does not talk about losing your salvation. You cannot lose your salvation. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Otherwise, God lied. Because He said those who believe in Him have everlasting life. If it could end, then that would make it not everlasting. It really is that simple. It's everlasting because it lasts forever. Amen. If you can lose your salvation, the angels would not rejoice when a sinner comes to repentance. They would save the rejoicing till you actually made it, if you could lose it. But they rejoice when a sinner repents because it's settled at that moment when a sinner repents and turns to Jesus Christ. The Bible says when you are saved, you are placed in the Father's hand, and there is nothing that can remove you from the Father's hand. Once you're saved, you're always saved. Amen. So what is this passage speaking of? Well, this passage is speaking of those religious privileges. The Lord working through the church and the candlestick that's talked about in the book of Revelation and so on. And I believe that's why, and I don't want to get it next week's sermon, but in chapter number 12, that's why He says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. And He goes through what Christian living is all about in chapter number 12. It's not about me. It's not about who I am. It's not even about what label I want to claim to be. It's about me and my walk with the Lord and my love for other people. And it's important. And then, but we're getting ahead of ourselves. In Romans chapter number 11, He now directs and gives in detail what about Israel's future now. What are we going to see here about what God has in store for Israel? Let's read a few verses. If you're able to, let's stand as we read the Word of God. Willis, come up here. When we started shaking hands, Willis came up to me and he said, I heard what you said. He said, I don't know that I'm saved. I want to get saved this morning. And so Willis went out. Brother Shane talked to him. Willis, did you get saved this morning? You know you're going to heaven? Amen. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Praise the Lord for it. Let's stop and give God praise and thank the Lord for Willis getting saved this morning. Your church is very proud of you, Willis. That's wonderful. So let's pray. Father, Lord, thank you for Willis. I thank you that, Lord, he did not hide in a pew. He didn't be intimidated to come and say something. Thank you, Lord, that he came. Lord, he said he had a need. Thank you, Lord, for Brother Davis and taking the Word of God and speaking to Willis. Thank you for being a God who loves us sinners. Thank you for saving Willis today. Thank you, Lord, for what you've done in his life this morning. There is, just as we said, rejoicing in the presence of the angels today. Lord, and Willis getting saved. Thank you so much for his decision. Thank you for him putting his faith in you. What a wonderful news it is. God, I pray if there's someone else here today that's not saved, neither would they hide in a pew or try to get out without making a decision. Give them the same boldness that Willis had. May they come to you today and fall at your feet and you save their soul today. Lord, again, thank you for Willis. I rejoice with him. Lord, I love him. Thank you that he got saved. In your name I pray. Amen. Amen. Love you, man. Let's read our text. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Verse 23. And they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, talking about the Jews now, shall be grafted in. For God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be the natural branches, the natural branches are the Jews, all right? Be grafted into their own olive tree. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away ungodliness from Jacob. For this is my covenant unto them, when I shall take away their sins. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes, but as touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet have now obtained mercy through their unbelief, even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God! How unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out! For who hath known the mind of the Lord, or who hath been his counselor, or who hath first given to him, and it shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him, and through him, and to him are all things, to whom be glory forever. Amen. Thank you, and be seated. We're going to look at here how God and his plans in dealing with Israel. First of all, we talked about some disappointment that God had and the results of Israel. Now we're going to look at how God deals with Israel, and I'm going to use a word that scares a lot of people, dispensationally, alright? But this means in different sections of what his plan is in time. There is coming a day when God is going to graft Israel back in. There's coming a day when Israel and all those religious privileges that have been taken away, they are going to be restored one day. Paul gives this and makes this case, first of all, in verse 23 and 24, saying that it is within God's power. God can do anything, and God can do this. He says in verse number 23, and they also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. Paul says, God's able to restore the Jew. Because, quite simply, he's God. Now, he gives us a little botany lesson here. It says, for if thou art cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature. Now, the wild olive branch is the representation of who? You and I. Alright, we're the wild olive. Alright, for if thou, that's us, the Gentiles, were cut out of the olive tree which is wild by nature. We're wild. And were grafted contrary to nature into a good olive tree. He says contrary to nature because this is just a fact of science. If you take a wild olive branch and you graft it and attach it to a natural olive branch, olive tree, I'm sorry, the whole tree goes wild.
Yeah.
That's just nature. But God has taken us, a wild olive branch, and has grafted us in to the Lord Jesus Christ, and contrary to nature, that's what it's saying there, contrary to what nature says, we are made part of the tree. Praise the Lord for that. Contrary to what nature says. And if God, what he's saying here, if God's able to take us, wild olive branches, and make us attached to the natural olive tree, and the tree is still what it is, and praise the Lord, it is, and he is. And if God's able to do that, Paul says, then for sure, God can take the natural branches and graft them back in. If God can do that, God for sure can do this with Israel. And so he gives this lesson in saying that God is, because he is the creator and God can do all things. It is within God's power to do this, but also it is within God's purpose to do this. This is what God has purposed. And what God has decided, folks, there is no power that can stop what God has decided. So we see a couple of things, and here's where it gets fun. So stay with me. Everybody with me? Nod your head yes? All right. Here we go. Look at the verses. We'll do this as quick and as simply as we can. All right? But this is exciting. Verse number 25, it's within God's purpose. I say this first. A restriction has been put on Israel, and it's so Gentiles can be saved. Look in verse number 25. It says, "For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery." Now, Paul's getting into this mystery. A mystery means it's something that was started in the Old Testament and is being revealed in the New Testament. What is this mystery? "Lest you should be wise in your own conceits." Again, we as Gentiles should not be thinking high-minded of ourselves. "That blindness in part has happened to Israel." Israel has been blinded. And Israel is blinded. Now there is a remnant. But they have been blinded spiritually. Until. So this blinding of Israel will happen until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. Now, what is that fullness of the Gentiles? The fullness of the Gentiles will end when that lost Gentile is saved, that last lost Gentile saved, and the rapture takes place. When the rapture takes place, and all believers are taken out of here, and folks, that day is coming. When the rapture takes place, and all believers are taken out here. You know, I don't know who it will be. I do not know. But there will come a day that the time of this fullness of Gentiles will end. It will end when the rapture takes place. There'll be, and I don't know where they'll be or who they'll be, that one last person that's going to get saved in this time of the Gentiles. The trumpet of the Lord's going to sound. Dead in Christ will rise, and we will rise up and meet them. And at that point, the time of the Gentiles will be ended. You say, well, that scares me. If you're saved, it doesn't need to, because we won't be here. We will be called out of here. But this time, the fullness of the Gentiles, is when that last Gentile is saved and the rapture takes place. Now, I don't want to rush through this, because this is important. We need to understand this, folks. And I want to keep your finger here. We're going to come right back. But turn over real quick to 1 Corinthians chapter number 15. Read a few verses with me so we can build this. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. We'll go quickly. So here we go. 1 Corinthians 15. Look over in verse number 51. 1 Corinthians 15 and in verse number 51. It says here in 1 Corinthians 15, 51, "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed." What's going to happen at any moment? The Lord is going to come, and He's going to come into the clouds. And understand this. We're going to talk about all this morning as much as we can. The Lord is coming in the clouds, in the sky. That trumpet will sound, and all those who are dead in Christ, their bodies will rise, and we that are alive and remain will be caught up. And what a reunion is going to take place in these clouds right above this earth when Jesus comes with all the saints, and we will all meet together in the air one day. and that could happen at any moment. Turn over to 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 4. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4. I want you to see these things very quickly. In 1 Thessalonians chapter number 4 and in verse number 16. 1 Thessalonians 4 and in verse number 16. It says this, "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven." 1 Thessalonians 4:16. "For the Lord Himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, and with the voice of the archangel, and with the trump of God. And the dead in Christ shall rise first. Then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so shall we ever be with the Lord. Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Folks, one day, and it could be today, the fullness of the Gentiles will end. That could be today. There is no reason why it could not be today. Now, it could be 100 years from now, but it could be today. And the Lord could return. And by that return, I mean the time of the resurrection, the time when what we have called the rapture, when the Lord will come in the clouds. What a time of joy that will be. What a time of reunion that will be. The millions, and we will meet together in the clouds. It is an imminent return. It could happen today. The Bible teaches it will happen before the tribulation. There is coming the time of Jacob's trouble. That is the time of tribulation. We're going to look at some of these verses in just a second. But the time of Jacob's trouble is coming. You see, what's going to happen? The time of the fullness of the Gentiles is going to end when the rapture takes place. We are called out of here. What a day that will be. At that time, and this is what Paul is saying in Romans, God is then going to turn His attention back to the Jews. But this is not going to be a pleasant experience at first. It is what is known as Jacob's trouble. Daniel's 70th week. 7 years of tribulation upon this earth. Now, we as believers, folks, we will not be here at that time. If you're in 1 Thessalonians, look at 1 Thessalonians in chapter number 5 and in verse number 4. It says, "But ye brethren are not in darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. Ye are children of light and the children of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness." Look down in verse number 9. "For God hath not appointed us to wrath, but to obtain salvation by our Lord Jesus Christ." Folks, we have not been appointed as believers today to that time of wrath, the time of Jacob's trouble, the time of Daniel's 70th week. We, and praise the Lord for it, will not go through that time. God, that's why, by the way, we just read the verse when it talks about the return of Christ, "Wherefore comfort one another with these words." You know why the preaching of the rapture brings comfort to us? Because we're delivered from all of that. Folks, if the tribulation took place even halfway through or at the end of the tribulation, there isn't much comfort in that. How are you going to comfort one another by talking about all the millions who are going to die and the giant scorpions that will be stinging you and the water turning into blood and the waters turn poison and things falling out of the sky and giant stars hitting the earth, etc., 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 which is going to happen? Well, that isn't a whole lot of comfort if I had to stay here. But we says, "Wherefore, comfort one another with these words." Why? Because the Lord has not appointed us to wrath. We will be removed from this. Listen to this verse, Revelation chapter 3, verse number 10. "But thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep them from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try them that dwell upon the earth." We are being kept from that. We are being delivered from that. And we ought to be very thankful that we will be raptured out of here before this time. So back in Romans, I hope you're still with me, Romans chapter 11, verse number 25, I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. What is that fullness of the Gentiles? I know we're learning doctrine today, but that is referring to the rapture, when the Lord comes back for believers, which could be today. Amen. And then you see in verse number 26, the return of Christ. And so all Israel shall be saved. As it is written, there shall come out of Zion the deliverer, and shall turn away the ungodliness from Jacob. The return of Christ. All Israel shall be saved. You say, well, what is being talked about there? Again, when you use Scripture with Scripture, as we've been doing, what will happen at any moment? Jesus is coming. That coming is not when He will step foot on this earth. Understand that. It is when He comes in the clouds. We will be caught up to Him. We will then spend time with the Lord. There will be the judgment seat of Christ. I believe the marriage supper of the Lamb. Won't it be a wonderful time when we're with Christ? Amen. But on this earth is the time of Jacob's trouble. On this earth is Daniel's 70th week. On this earth is going on a time, and I spend a whole lot of time here, but what's going to happen is this world's going to be in chaos. Our minds just can't comprehend. I was talking to another man this week. I mean, just think of the chaos that happened in this country, and it was terrible, when two jetliners hit two buildings and 2,000 people lost their life. This whole country stopped. The economy stopped. Everything stopped. One can only imagine what's going to take place in this country when every believer is called out of here. When millions upon millions, and believe me, read your TV guide, this world's being prepped for a lie. All kinds of scenarios to believe some sort of lie and what's going to take place. But this world is going to chaos, and there will rise a leader who will promise unity. That leader is what the Bible refers to as the Antichrist. Turn over real quick in Zechariah, all right? If you go to Matthew and just go back a few more books, you will find Zechariah. And I want you to please turn with me to Zechariah in chapter number 13. Zechariah chapter number 13. What's going to happen then with Israel? What is Paul referring to when he says, "And all Israel shall be saved"? Well, here in Zechariah, you see some prophecy. Again, just go to Matthew and keep going to the left, and you'll soon get Zechariah. In chapter number 13, look in verse number 8. It says this, "And it shall come to pass that in all the land, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein." Now, what he's referring to, he's speaking to the Jews. So during this time of tribulation, Jacob's trouble, Daniel's 70th week, 7 years of tribulation that will begin immediately after the time of the Gentiles, with the rapture of God's people, everything will start out all peachy for the Jews. There'll be peace under the guise of this Antichrist. But he soon will show himself for what he is, Satan on earth. He will then turn against the Jews, and according to this passage, two-thirds of all the Jews on the earth will die. Just stop and fathom that. Two-thirds of all the Jews during this tribulation time will die. And I, verse 9, will bring the third part through the fire, and will refine them as silver is refined, and will try them as gold is tried. You say, well, that could never happen. Read history books. We had a taste of it under Hitler. Just a small taste of this. But the Lord says in this passage, He's going to, you take this third, and He's not done. "They shall call on My name, and I will hear them. I will say, This is just great scripture here. It is my people. And they shall say, the Lord is my God. That day is coming. Isn't it exciting? That day is coming. In chapter number 14, let's keep reading. It says, behold, the day of the Lord cometh, and the spoil shall be divided in the midst of thee. For I will gather all nations against Jerusalem to battle, and the city shall be taken, and the houses rifled, and the women ravished, and half of the city shall go forth into captivity, and the residue of the people shall not be cut off from the city. What is he saying? This Antichrist is going to rise. He's going to rise from there in Jerusalem. He is going, and all the armies of the world are going to be gathered against Jerusalem. There will be a great battle. We know that this battle will take place according to the book of Joel in chapter 3 and in verse number 2. This battle will take place in the valley of Jehoshaphat. This battle will take place, and all the armies of the world, the majority of them, will align themselves against Israel and against God. And this battle will start. But at that moment, Jesus Christ will return to this earth. And that third of the people that remain in Israel will say, that is my God. And God will say, that is my people. And those nations will be destroyed who have lined up against Israel. The blood will flow to the horse's bridle, the Bible says. The Lord is coming back. The attention is upon Israel. Then will take place what is found in Matthew chapter 25. Turn there real quick. Matthew chapter number 25. You could get very deep into these things. I'm really just trying to... I'm just not... I have a simple mind. So I try to... I have to keep things simple. And I hope that it is simple the way we're putting this. Just showing what the Word of God says. These are the things that are going to happen. Matthew 25 and verse number 31. It says there, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory. Verse 31 of Matthew 25. When the Son of Man shall come in His glory. What is that? That's when He steps foot on this earth. That's after the 7 years of tribulation. Before the tribulation begins, the fullness of the Gentile ends. That's when the rapture takes place. So, again, we'll walk through this. At any moment, it could be today. The Lord could call us into the sky and come in the clouds, and we will meet the Lord in the air. If that were to happen today, there will come 7 years of tribulation. Whenever that event happens, there will follow 7 years of tribulation. During that time, the Antichrist will set up seat in Jerusalem. He will eventually turn on Jerusalem. The armies of the world will gather, and there will be a great battle against Israel and the few that stand with Israel. It is then that Jesus Christ will come back, and He will say, those are my people. And they will say, the third that remained, that's my God. And at that point, Jesus will judge these nations. And there, and that's what we find here in Matthew 25, when the Son of Man shall come in His glory, and the holy angels with Him, then shall He sit upon the throne of His glory. And before Him shall be gathered all nations, and He shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. And He shall set the sheep on His right hand, but the goats on His left. I heard some people say that this verse is talking about when God divides the saved and the unsaved. It is nothing what this passage is talking about. This passage is talking about when the Lord comes back in His glory, the second coming, when He takes these nations, and this is what's taking place. Then shall the King say unto them on His right hand. And who's on His right hand? Well, the sheep are on His right hand. Amen. You see that in the previous verse. The sheep are on His right hand. Come, ye blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was a hungered, and ye gave me meat. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you took me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and ye visited me. I was in prison, and you came unto me. Then shall the righteous answer Him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee a hungered and fed thee, or thirsty and gave thee drink? When saw we thee a stranger and took thee in, or naked and clothed thee? Or when saw we thee sick or in prison and came unto thee? And the King shall answer and say unto them, verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren. Who are His brethren? Those are the Jews. When you've done this, you see, that dividing of the sheep and the goats will take place when the Lord Jesus comes back. It is a separation of the nations that will be on this earth at that time. And those who stood with Israel, those who helped Israel, those who clothed Israel, those who gave them drink, those who stood with Israel, God says, enter into this kingdom. What is that kingdom? The millennial kingdom of Christ. The 1,000 years that will begin after this battle. But then he keeps speaking. I know, isn't this a lot, all right? But isn't it good? Amen? Not me. Isn't the Bible good, all right? And look what he says in verse number 41. Then shall he say also to him on the left hand. These are the goats, the picture. Depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungered, and ye gave me no meat. I was thirsty, and ye gave me no drink. I was a stranger, and ye took me not in. Naked ye clothed me not, sick and in prison, and ye visited me not. Then shall they also answer him, saying, Lord, when saw we thee hunger, or thirst, or stranger, or naked, or sick, or in prison, and did not minister unto thee? Then shall he answer them, saying, Verily I say unto you, as much as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me. And these shall go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous unto life eternal. At that moment, all those who remain that were against Israel will be cast into eternity, into fire, into lake of fire. Now I know that's a lot to throw at you. But here's the point for today. You don't have to go through any of that. The point for us today is if you're not saved, get saved today. If you are saved, rejoice in what God has preserved us from. If you are not saved, then take heed to the Scriptures. And that's why I'm going to go back to Romans chapter number 11. He says, when the time of the fullness of the Gentiles ends, verse 26, all Israel shall be saved. The Deliverer comes. Amen? Jesus is going to return. And all Israel, we look at Israel today and think, all of them are going to be saved. 2/3 of every Jew on this earth will have died during this tribulation period. But those that remain will be looking for their Lord. The blindness will be removed. And then you have a reminder to us all in verse 27 to 29. And the reminder is very simple. When God promises something, He will do it. Verse number 27, this is my covenant unto them. Who's the them? The Jews. He made a covenant with them. The Abrahamic covenant about the land being theirs, the throne being David's, be it the Palestinian covenant and all the full possession of the land, the Davidic covenant that one will sit upon the throne. When God makes a covenant, He will see it through. It says, I will take away their sins. He will do what He said He would do. And by the way, that's why in verse number 29 it says, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. You know what that verse is talking about, by the way? It's talking about the Jews and the covenant that God has made with them, and that God will never go back on His covenant. We use that verse all the time. You hear people say, you know, well, God gave you a gift and He's not going to take that gift away. Well, actually, it's not true. It doesn't line up with Scripture. You read the parable of the talents and things, when people didn't use what God gave them, God does remove that. You say, well, God called me to preach, and that calling will always be there. Well, not if we make the wrong decisions on our life and we are not qualified to be a pastor, etc. And God has removed that. And it's not contrary to the Scripture, because this Scripture in context is talking about Israel and the covenants that God has made with Israel, and God's not going to take that back. So verse number 28, we don't want to skip it. As concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sakes. What's he talking about? The Jews hated believers then. And Paul said, I know they're your enemies right now. But as touching the election, in other words, what this talk about is that God has chosen Israel. And touching the election, they are beloved for the Father's sake. You know what Paul's saying? They're against the gospel right now. But you know what Paul's saying? God has chosen them. And God is going to use them and graft them back in one day. We'll wrap this up. The faithfulness of God dealing with Israel. Verse 30 to 36, quickly. You see His mercy in verse number 30. For I like these Scriptures. They're convicting. Just read them with me. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they also may obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief. I skip verse number 30. For in times past ye have not believed God, yet ye have now obtained mercy through their unbelief. Again, what's Paul saying in this verse? Their eyes are blinded, and God's mercy has been given to us. Yes. And we ought to rejoice in that.
Yes.
Verse 31, they don't believe now. But now, I want you to get the scripture, and I promise we'll close. That through your mercy, they may obtain mercy. What's Paul saying to these Gentile believers in Rome? Everybody look at me, you know what he's saying? You need to show them mercy. They're lost. Many of them are lost today. And today, for us, the majority of Jews are lost. We don't walk away and say, well, too bad for them. We ought to pray for them. We ought to strive to reach them with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Amen. That through our mercy, they may also obtain mercy. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief, both Jew and Gentile. We all need to be saved, that He might have mercy upon all. Isn't God's mercy wonderful? And then you see His majesty in verse 33 to 36. You know, I can't really say much about these things, about this, other than this. God's amazing. It says, oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God. So I can't hardly figure out everything we talked about this morning. Well, you're in good company, because neither can I. To wrap my mind around everything that the Bible says is going to happen, I don't know that we ever could.
Yeah.
But we don't have to.
Right.
We don't have the mind of God. But praise the Lord, He's in control of everything.
Yes, He is.
How unsearchable are His judgments, and His ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of the Lord? Who hath been His counselor? Who hath first given to Him, and it shall be recompensed unto Him again? We don't tell God what to do. We don't have to figure out God. We don't have to give God any wisdom, and God doesn't owe us a thing. Verse 36, for of Him, and through Him, and to Him, are all things.
Yes.
To whom be glory forever. And all God's people said,
amen.
Unto Him be the glory. So what do we do now with this scripture? We tell as many as we can about Jesus Christ. Because
yes.
The day is coming, and it could be today, that the rapture will take place. And then these things we spoke of will begin. My friend, if you're lost, it's not worth taking a chance. You say, well, I'll get saved later when I see these things happen. 1 Thessalonians says you won't. It says that what will happen when these things happen is that you will believe a lie, because you have chosen to reject Christ when the preaching came to you. And you will believe some lie. Say, I'll never believe a lie. You will, because the Bible says you will. So, well, that's not fair. It's completely fair. Because you'd be an opportunity today again to accept Jesus as your Savior. Don't say no to so great a salvation.